the presence of God.
Amen.
That the presence of God in our midst is very important. Because as Pastor Angela said, anything that we try to accomplish on our own is just going to fall short. Without the Lord, we can do nothing, really. I mean, you can run from God and maybe think you're doing a lot of things, but in the end, you're going to have to face God. And today I want to speak to you about find out what you've been missing. Find out what you've been missing. And so, Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would anoint and strengthen us for this word, that we would hear the message within this message. And, Lord, that every heart, every ear will be attentive, alert to what the Holy Spirit would say to them, Lord. Thank you, God, for sharing your life with us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. The way I felt inspired about this message is kind of unusual, but Saturday morning, my wife and I were sitting down having a breakfast, and we have done this now for so many years where we make a point to talk about the things of God. We make a point to pray together and have our devotions together. We've done this so many times for all the years of our marriage, really. But it just occurred to me how precious is the fellowship of two believers when God is in the midst of them. And my scripture for today is found in Matthew 18, verse 20. Matthew 18, 20, where Jesus says, and this is from the Amplified Version, "Again, I say to you, that if two believers on earth agree, that is, are of one mind or in harmony, about anything they ask within the will of God, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." Now watch this. "For where two or three are gathered in my name, meeting together as my," and that includes husbands and wives, friends, business partners, whoever you might get to know, "I am there among them. For where two or three are gathered in my name," Jesus said, "I am there among them." Something so simple, as a matter of fact, it's so simple that you might miss it. And that's why I believe God put this message on my heart. Because he made me understand on Saturday morning this past week what a blessing it is to have another person. In my particular case, it's my wife. And those of you who are married to a Christian spouse, thank God for that. That's good. But that doesn't limit you, because we have a lot of widows here. We have single people. God doesn't limit this just to married couples. Aren't you glad for that? Wherever two believers are together, you could be on the phone. You could be driving in the car together. You could be meeting in a parking lot. You could be meeting at lunch at work or in a little cubicle at work with two or three other Christians. Wherever you gather in his name and you come with the purpose of glorifying Christ, you come with the purpose of building each other up, you come with the purpose of seeking God, Jesus said, "I'll be there with you. I will work in the clusters of two and three." And God just began to reveal to me and to open up and to remind me what happens when two or three people who are in love with God, or at least trying to grow more in God, and are meeting together on a regular basis to pray, to study the Bible, to encourage one another, to share one another's burdens, and to obey God and whatever God says. And I started seeing that this is God's operating principle to build his kingdom. God works in groups of twos and threes, people who are faithful in their prayers, people who are willing to trust God together, who are willing to work out their problems together, not perfect people. Turn to your neighbor and say, not perfect people. People who are a work in progress. Amen. And turn to your neighbor and say, that's you. And that's me. Oh, some of you said that too happily to say that to your neighbor. This is a building block. The twos and the threes, praying together, on the phone, morning devotions, at the office, by somebody's hospital bed. This is where God shows up. in the simple, humble gathering of two or three people who love God. This morning before I got up to preach, my grandson who's here today, Colin, prayed for me, prayed for my sermon. He's 6 years old. And my wife and Colin prayed for me. Two or three together in Jesus' name. Jesus promised. He makes this audacious promise. I will be with you. What is it worth to you to know that God shows up in your small groups? What does that mean to you? Are you amazed by that? Are you excited? Or are you like, oh yeah, by the way, Mary, guess who was at my house today? Jesus, the Son of God. Whoa. Yes, I was praying with my friend Michael and Jesus showed up. Whoa, what does that mean? Well, just like it says in the Bible, where two or three are gathered in my name, meeting as followers, I will be there among them. So whenever you bow your head with one or two, my wife and I have been doing this now for many years. I'm not going to tell you how many, but I've been doing this for years. And I want you to think about that. Get a hold of this, whoever you are today. The cumulative effect of prayer. The cumulative effect of being in agreement. In Psalm 133, the Bible says, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. And then he talks about how it's like the oil that was poured on Aaron's head, the high priest. And how the oil went down his beard and then onto the collar of his garments, all the way down to the hem of his garments. And then it says this, because it is there. Everybody say there.
There.
Where is there? Where there's unity. Again, I would start from the top. It says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And then at the end of the psalm, it says, for it is there, where? In unity, that God commands the blessing. Commands the blessing. And Jesus takes it even further and says, just two of you, any two of you who come in my name and pray and join your hearts together, have all the resources, the power of heaven at your command. Hallelujah. He said, you can bind, what you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Hallelujah. Two or three of you. What you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. I hope you haven't been missing this. Jesus said that wherever his believers were, his presence, his power, his grace would be manifested among them, even as it was when he walked among them physically. When he was there in his physical body, he said, it will be the same even after I'm resurrected. I will be with you. Just as I was in those intimate moments. Just as I was that day when I called Lazarus out of the tomb. Hallelujah. Just as I was when I called Matthew, the tax collector, to come and have dinner together. Just as it was when I healed the centurion's servant, Jesus said, I will be among you in your fellowship. I will be among you in your small groups. I will be among husbands and wives that pray together. I will be among men who are accountable to one another and are willing to pray with one another. I will be with you. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Give him some praise. There's something unique and powerful about a meeting of believers who are in agreement for a godly purpose. Something powerful. It doesn't have to be a lot. And thank God for these larger gatherings. We need that too. We shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, right? On Sundays and Wednesdays. But Jesus promised wherever, whenever, and for all time, wherever you're meeting, whenever, and as long as time exists, when you pray, when you gather in friendship and counsel and Bible study, I will be with you. I will be present with you. Hallelujah. So it means if you make Jesus the focal point of your gathering, what does it mean when Jesus said, "With two or three gathered in my name"? Everybody say, "In my name." What does it mean to be gathered in his name? The word name is not just a description of the birth name that Jesus was given, Yeshua, son of Jesus of Nazareth, it refers to his nature. It refers to his attributes, to his power, to everything about him. So when you're gathering with the purpose of being like Jesus, and Jesus is the focal point of your prayer, Jesus is the focal point of your Bible study, and you are together with brothers and sisters who have the same spiritual life that you have, it means that he will be there. In other words, the idea of fellowship is the word koinonia. Koinonia, in its simplest forms, means sharing from the life of something that is not your own. Koinonia means to have communion or share in something of another person or something that is not your own. And in this case, it's the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus is saying to us this morning, I will be as close to you as I was when I was with my disciples in private settings for personal instruction and blessing. Throughout the Bible and centuries since there have been great works of God that were done because two or three people gathered together in unity and obedience. I was reading a story this week in 1948, a small gathering of four men. You may recognize some of the names: Grady Wilson, George Beverly Shea, Cliff Barrows, and a young man named Billy Graham. Anybody hear of him? We're gathered to pray and to establish core values for a ministry that they were beginning. It's called the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. The results of that meeting were profoundly prophetic. A list of core values became the guiding principles of the Billy Graham Association. The four values, here's what they were: honesty, integrity, purity, and humility. And they agreed, those four men, and they prayed together. By the way, most of these men were still with him till the time God called them home. I mean, they were at least 60 years together. But the impact of their lives, this is the point I'm trying to make. The impact that four guys praying in a hotel room in 1948 had is just beyond description. In his life, Billy Graham preached to over 200 million people. Dozens and dozens of countries of the world opened their doors, even behind the Iron Curtain, in communist countries, opened their doors to him. He had massive crusades of over 1 million people at one time. I mean, there are countless thousands and thousands of people who accepted Christ, and generations, sons and daughters now, who are also Christians because he obeyed God. Because four guys got together around a central idea that God was with us, God is with us, and around the idea that if we do this together and if we pray, nothing is impossible with God. If we believe, nothing is impossible with God. Throughout the Bible, we see these examples. Moses prevailed over the Amalekites with the help of two people, Aaron and Hur. So I want you to picture Moses is praying, right? And here he is lifting up his hands in prayer. And as long as he's lifting up his hands interceding by himself, the Israelis are winning. The Amalekites are losing. Amen. Chalk up one for the Israelis, zero for the Amalekites. But then his arms start to get tired and his arms start to fall. And guess what? The Amalekites start winning. Now the score is one for the Israelis, one for the Amalekites. And this is going on back and forth. Finally, two people came alongside. Hallelujah. Aaron, hey, would you come up for a second, Brother Ramon? Amen. You could be Aaron. And Angela, you could be her. Because you are her. So, two people come along, Aaron and her. And they hold up my hands. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Now. Hallelujah. Now the people of God are winning and the evil Amalekites are losing. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And as long as Moses hands were held up with the help of Aaron and Hur. God won. Are you getting a picture of this? And then there was Jonathan and his armor bearer. And Jonathan and his armor bearer, they were like really close buddies. They came up against the Philistine camp, and the Philistines were oppressing the Israelites. And they said, why don't we go and just attack that camp? What do you think?
Sure.
I say we go for it. What do you say? He said, sure, whatever. Man, I'm with you, heart and soul. I'm with you. And guess what? They climb up this cliff, and there's a whole Philistine garrison. I mean, there's just two guys. Just two guys and an entire Philistine garrison of soldiers, armed and everything. So they go up, and God just anoints them. And all of a sudden, something that shouldn't happen happened because two or three come together for a godly purpose. Hallelujah. And the Philistines began to run, and they began to fall. And God just sent a mighty terror upon the Philistines, and they were defeated. Somebody say amen. Thank you, my friend. God bless you. Give it up for my dear friend Ramon. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Peter and John. Peter and John are on their way. I've got to get another volunteer, angel. I was going to say another victim. I meant another volunteer. Peter and John are on their way to the hour of prayer at the temple. And they pass by. There's a man who's been begging here for about, 38 years? Says something like that, 38 years. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes upon these two close friends. They were formerly fishermen. And they were buddies. They were business partners. But now they found Jesus. Now Jesus became the center of everything in their lives. Amen? Even the center of their future. And so you know what happened. They said, look at us. And the man looked at them. And the next thing you know, Peter said, you know, silver and gold I have none, but such as I have I give to you. He grabs him by the hand. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. Amen. So John and Peter saw a mighty miracle because they were together in prayer. They were together in life. Say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Angel. Give Angel a big hand. Hallelujah. See, life is better together. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Life is better together. It's these clusters of two and three that when we grow together in friendship and in the love of Christ and in our prayers, we are exponentially stronger. And Moses understood this when it came to spiritual warfare. Here's what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 32. He said, one righteous person could cause 1,000 evil people to flee. So how many, if that's the correct mathematical formula, if one could cause 1,000 to flee, how many will two cause to flee? Two should be 2,000, right? According to our man's mathematics. But according to God's mathematics, two can put 10,000 to flight. So two can put 10 times more than one. Hallelujah. Two are stronger than one. God works that way. Jesus sent out the disciples two by two. This is a precedent for ministry. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. I think there's something prophetic in this verse. This is Luke 10, verse 1. Let me read it again. Now, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. I believe that when God sends out a team or a group of prayer warriors, when God gives a vision to ordinary people, like my wife and I, like some of you, that God will honor our prayers as we pave the way for Jesus to come behind us. Hallelujah. I know it sounds strange, but that's exactly what was happening here. It says he sent them to the places where he himself was going to come. So, you know, I've heard of little sweet ladies in their 70s, 80s, and 90s praying, God, raise up a church in such and such a community. Lord, we need a church in this part of town. And these particular people didn't have the gift of a pastor. They didn't have the gift of preaching. But they knew how to pray. Hallelujah. And you know how many times those prayers were answered? I can't tell you how many cases we know of personally where people prayed and God sent a church or planted a church in a particular town because somebody, all they did was just two or three ladies praying together fervently, day and night, day and night, day and night. So what will God do if we get this right? The sky is the limit. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
A small group of friends, a prayer partner on the phone, a life group, two or three, a men's group, as I mentioned before. The promise is the same. I will be with you. And the possibilities are endless. Look at Billy Graham, Cliff Barrows, Grady Wilson, and who was the other one? George Beverly Shea. Four men, 1948, praying together in a hotel room, saying, God, help us to be pure. Help us to be right with you, God. They were more concerned about being right with God than they were about the size of the crowds. Billy Graham said, I quote, so many people think that somehow I carry a revival around in my suitcase. They just announce me and something happens, but that's not true. This is the work of God, he says. And the Bible warns that God will not share his glory with another. All the publicity that we receive sometimes frightens me, he said, because I feel that therein lies a great danger. If God should ever take his hand off me, I would have no more spiritual power. And here's, look at this. The whole secret and success of our meetings is spiritual. It's simply God answering prayer. And I cannot take any credit for it. What would happen if two or three of you decided to be a prayer cluster? You decided to take God's word and study it for 15 minutes a week. You decided to start praying with your children. You start praying with your spouse. Or somebody, some friend, whether it's somebody at work or somebody on the phone. Hallelujah. There's no telling what God will do. I want to just give you a warning, too, before we close. The enemy has used a divide-and-conquer strategy to keep us from doing this. One of the ways he tries to discourage and to thwart the church is by keeping us offended with each other and hurt with each other and not liking each other, somehow keeping us away from this unity that brings such power. If we ever really fell in love the way we should, and if we ever became united the way we should, I'm telling you, we would blow the roof off this building. People would be coming in droves if we ever understood the power of unity, the power of two or three dedicated people who said, I will pray, like that woman who said, I'll keep knocking on the door until my... That woman didn't have a ministry, she didn't have any status, she didn't have a lot of money, but she had a fist. In other words, she had something she could use. And for us, we have a prayer. Every one of you has a prayer. Every one of you has Jesus. If you know Christ as your Savior, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Don't ever let the devil lie to you and tell you that you're weak and anemic and that you cannot do anything. There's nothing impossible for those who believe. Ecclesiastes 4, 9-12, two are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. Listen, this is devil's strategy right here. The devil's strategy is to isolate. You know, the church is too loud. The church is too soft. I don't like the way that pastor preaches, you know. Oh, that sister, she walked right by me in the lobby and she didn't even look at me. Can you imagine that? I was waiting behind the pastor for him to talk to me, and he was too busy praying with somebody at the altar. Can you imagine that? Spirit of offense has ruined many churches. The Lord gave me a word for this church at the end of 2017, and I believe it is something he wants me to keep reiterating over and over again. He said, this is going to be a year of great progress as long as we step out in faith and grow in love. This will be a year of great progress for you too if you step in faith, if you step out in faith. Do the thing you haven't done before. Do something in God that you've never done before. Do the Bible study. Read through the Bible. Start a prayer life if you don't have one. Come on now. Get in some kind of small group. Not everybody can be in a life group, and I understand that. So I'm not beating up, I'm not trying to beat people over the head about small groups. But whether it's a partner, a friend, a phone call, or somebody, be in agreement, because God, this is God's method. This is God's way of helping us to grow in faith and maturity as disciples. This is God's way of extending his kingdom through the world. The disciples met in large groups, but they also met from house to house. They met in small groups as well. And Jesus said, wherever you go, whenever you call on my name, any two or three of you, I will be there and I will get my work done. Hallelujah. You can be in a business office. You can be in a school. You can be in your lunchroom. You could be in your garage, wherever you are. The story is told about five young college students who started the volunteer student revival movement, which eventually became the YMCA. How many of you ever heard of the YMCA? Did you know that was started by five young men from Williams College in Massachusetts who were praying together one day in a rainstorm? And they ran into a barn where there was a haystack or something, and they found shelter and they started to pray. And they said, what if we were to bind together, the five of us, and agree that God will send missionaries all around the world? And this is the conclusion the Holy Spirit gave them. If we do this, God will do his part. If we do our part, God will do his part. And if you go to Williams College to this day in Massachusetts, you will find a plaque there at the spot where those men prayed. And the missions movement of the late 1800s and early 1900s was dramatically affected by the prayers of these five young men. So what would happen if you prayed? What would happen if you obeyed? It's not just enough to pray and to be hearers, but we must also be doers of the word. Amen? Let's stand together, shall we? Give God some praise in the house. Hallelujah. Give God some praise. What have you been missing? I hope this message hits home. What have you been missing that goes beyond 90 minutes on Sunday morning? Is anybody listening today? He who has ears to hear, Jesus said. Let him hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. And I say to you, Catalyst, today, open your ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Let today, this Sunday, March 4th, 2018, let it be transformational in your life. Let today mark the day that you said, I'm going to start to meet for prayer. I'm going to start to have Bible study with another man and accountable. I'm going to be accountable. I'm going to open up my life to somebody. I'm not going to carry these burdens alone. I'm going to get rid of the past hurts and the offenses. And I'm going to quit my isolation. Say with me, I'm going to quit my isolation. I'm going to stop trying to be the Lone Ranger. Come on now. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not the Lone Ranger. Amen. Neither am I. Hallelujah. When you think of the cross of Jesus, the cross had a vertical dimension, which symbolically everybody understands. Theologians have written that symbolic of God reaching man and Christ reaching out to God to intercede on behalf of man. The vertical dimension of the cross between God and man. But then it also had a horizontal dimension. Amen. It has a horizontal bar, a piece of wood, where Jesus stretched out his hands. And that has to do with touching ordinary people. Just like I said in communion before, Jesus stretched out his hand on the cross and he looked at his mother and he said, "Mother, that young man standing next to you, that's now your son." And he says, "Son," looking at John, "this is now your mother." Spiritual relationships are the foundation of my wife and myself, our entire lives. If you want to know the secret of our ministry and endurance for 50 years, it's relationships. I'm serious. Does anybody believe me here today? Amen. It's praying in groups of twos and threes. How we started the campus ministry? In our kitchen. In our kitchen, on the floor, praying together. And the rest is history. God is working. God is working in twos and threes. You've been missing the secret weapon of having a prayer partner, having a group, a two or three or four or five or eight of people that you can know will have your back, and people that you can live for and encourage, and people that you can support, and they could support you, and you could have, hallelujah, this built-in encouragement system. And you want more of that in your life. I'm just going to simply say, come and kneel at this altar. That's all as we sing. You're saying, "God, today, I'm going to ask you, God, to show me who those two or three people are. If it's a life group, if it's a prayer chain, if it's a cluster at work, if it's somebody across the aisle right here at Catalyst, and say, brother, sister, would you pray with me once a week?" Go ahead and step out and form those relationships by faith and watch what God will do. Amen?
I don't know why. I feel like sharing this story, even though it's unbelievably gross. This week, David and I read separately about something that startled us. That there was a woman who was in her attic. I don't know if you've read it. And she fell through the ceiling and fell through the wall. In the walls, in between the walls, and couldn't get out. And died there, and nobody knew. And I said to David, "That is unbelievable that no one knew that she was missing." And I want to tell you, that will never happen to you in this church. Unless you want it to. We got your back. We got your back. But do you have ours? Do you have your neighbors next to you? Never let it be said that the enemy used your isolation to get you caught between the walls and no one knew you were there. Listen, do you understand the spiritual significance of that? That there are people among us who come to church every week who never find out their purpose, who are dying on the vine. But listen, we need each other. It will not happen alone. It will not happen alone. And it won't happen on a surface relationship. I don't mean that you have to be best buddies with everybody. But I do know that the body of Christ, and Pastor David is right, if it wasn't for relationships in our lives, not just each other, right, Brother Joel and Damaris? And many of you have been, you know what things we've gone through this year, and you have prayed with us and stood with us, and that's why we're able to get up today and keep going, because you have prayed, you have called, you have sent the card, you have shown love, and you know that other people in this body care for you. But please, don't be isolated. This is something you have to choose. And I want to pray for that. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that I'm getting a word that sometimes there's been hurts in your past when you did open up to somebody or you did have a relationship and that person turned around and hurt you or turned around and pretended like they didn't know you. And so you've kind of decided to live your life on the peripheral, to live your life outside and isolated. And the Lord says, don't give up on good relationships. Yes. Just because there are bad ones doesn't mean they're not good ones. Amen? And also it could be pride. We're taught you're your own man, you're your own woman. No one else is going to do it for you. You do it alone. Lies. Lies. Yes, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But the Lord knew we needed the body of Christ. That's why he designed the church to be the way it is. So, Lord, I just pray for my brothers and sisters today. I pray in the name of Jesus they would not go home in isolation, that the enemy may not keep them from the best that you have from them. Lord, may we never fall between the cracks, between the walls, and no one even knows we're missing because we've chosen to live a life of isolation. We've chosen not to be part of the body of Christ. I pray that the life of God would flow through Catalyst, would flow through my brothers and sisters, would flow through us to touch our neighbors and others. And Lord, you know what relationships we need. The Lord says, many of you have been risking and showing and giving. And the Lord says, I know what you need. I will give back to you what you have sown, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.